Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Well, the title of my message today is, What is Coming? It's a question. What is coming? And it's a question I think that many of us, if not all of us, have been asking. I mean, have you kind of got up some of these mornings over the last few weeks and wondered, okay, what's going to be next on the headlines? What's going to be the next thing that takes place that I need to be aware of? What is it that I'm going to I need to brace myself for? Like, what's around the corner? And I was talking with several people even this week about this unique time that we're in right now, and they weren't freaking out at all, but there were just a lot of question marks that they had, kind of like a lot of us. We don't know what the COVID map's going to look like 2 weeks from now. We don't know what announcement's going to take place in the next few days. And so we have this question, like, what's coming? And in these uncertain times that we're in, is there anything that is certain? And what I want to do is, over the next few moments, share with you from God's Word about something that even during uncertain times that we can hold on to that is certain, like 100% according to the Word of God, certain that's coming. And many of you know that today is Palm Sunday, and so it's the day when we celebrate what took place 2,000 years ago, and it's really the day that is celebrated throughout history by the Jewish people, because what took place coming out of the Old Testament times is that the Jewish people, in preparation for Palm Sunday, would get a lamb. And with this lamb, then they would spend time with it, and they would care for and keep it for 4 days, and then they would use it for their Passover meal. And it was their Passover lamb, celebrating that God had protected them in the land of Egypt. Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and he was fulfilling prophecy, fulfilling scripture, and he was presenting himself as the rightful king and as the Son of God who was going to take away the sin of the world. In other words, he was going to be the ultimate Passover lamb. Well, that day was significant. That significance can't be overstated. It was prophesied in Scripture 550 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. The prophet Daniel had prophesied by the inspiration of God's Spirit that this day was coming and that this day would mark the presentation of the King, the Anointed One. In other words, the Messiah who was going to come to take away the sin of the world. And then just a few decades later, another prophet by the name of Zechariah prophesied in detail about that particular day, that special day in history that we celebrate as Palm Sunday when Jesus Christ rode in to Jerusalem. Zechariah even gave some of this minute details, like, for instance, Jesus would come in riding on the colt of a donkey. Now, that was not normally how kings entered into their city. Normally, and traditionally, a king at that time would pick out the biggest and the baddest horse, and they would come in with their sword and their spear, and they would ride into that city. They were the conquering military leader of the day. And instead, Jesus decides, in fulfilling Scripture, to come into Jerusalem humbly riding on the colt of a donkey, which at that time was a symbol of peace. Well, that day marked the beginning of Passion Week, which we still celebrate to this day all over the world. And Jesus, in coming in and beginning Passion Week, didn't just stop his ministry. He actually continued to teach and to preach and to lead his disciples forward, getting them ready for his crucifixion that would be just a few days later, and then ultimately his resurrection. And I love that Jesus continued to teach, and I love that our scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, have his words for us. And we see something interesting that during those last few days of Jesus' ministry before the crucifixion, Jesus honed in on something. It's like, if you only have a few days left to live, you probably are saying some of the most important things that you've ever said before. You're probably centering in on those that you love the most, and you're trying to impart to them wisdom, and you're trying to impart to them some treasures that hopefully they can carry on after your passing. And Jesus honed in on those last few days some things that were very important to him that the disciples got that they didn't miss and ultimately that we wouldn't miss as his disciples and followers. And as you read through, specifically Matthew chapters 21 through 25 in the New Testament, you're going to see certain themes that surface during these last several days of Jesus' ministry and his teaching before the crucifixion. The first theme that we see is this. The king is coming again. I mean, Jesus had just come into Jerusalem. He had just arrived. And then he begins talking about his second coming, the time when he was going to return. And it's interesting that this is such a huge deal in the New Testament, but yet sometimes we don't talk about it, and sometimes we don't even think about it. I mean, there are over 300 references in the New Testament to the second coming of Jesus Christ. 23 of the 27 New Testament books talk about the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't read the Bible without understanding that this is a really, really, really big deal. And Jesus is like, hey, look, disciples, these last few days before the crucifixion, you got to get this. You can't forget this. You got to understand that this is something that is going to happen. Yes, I came, Jesus is saying, but I'm coming again. I'm coming again. It's something that you can be certain of. Now, whenever Jesus died, rose again, he then spent 40 days with the disciples teaching them about the kingdom of God. And the Word of God says that after teaching them for about 40 days about the kingdom of God, then he ascended into heaven to be with the Father, which was what was prophesied. And an angel came to the disciples, because the disciples are just gawking. They're just looking up like, what? What's going on? Jesus, come back. And the angel comes up and say, this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go from you. Who's going to come back? He's going to come back. He wanted, the angel wanted them to know, like, get to work on God's mission. Don't worry about it. Jesus is coming back. He promised it, and he will come back. The writer of Hebrews, several years later, wrote this, so Christ, having been offered once for all to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. Jesus already dealt with sin on the cross. Not to deal with sin, but to come back for those who are eagerly waiting for him. How powerful is that? Paul the Apostle wrote in the New Testament, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the trumpet call of God, and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord forever. I mean, this is all throughout the New Testament. Jesus himself said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus said. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be with me where I am. See, this theme just surfaces not just in the entire New Testament, but even specifically in these last few days that Jesus had with his disciples before the crucifixion. He's coming back. He's coming back. The king is coming back. And I want you to know that even during these uncertain times, the season that we're in right now, it seems like it's filled with question marks. What's going to be happening tomorrow? What's going to be happening next week? What's it going to look like? In these uncertain times, you can be certain of this. According to the Word of God, the King is coming back. There's another theme that I want to bring out from these chapters in Matthew, and that is this. No one knows when. Nobody knows when. The king is coming back, but nobody knows when. I kind of wish at times I did know, but the reality is Jesus made it clear, no one knows the day or the hour. That's what Jesus said. Those are his words in Matthew chapter 24. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. If anybody right now is watching this message with you in your living room and they're falling asleep, just hit them right now, poof, just like that, right? Nicodemus says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. As a kid, I knew this scripture and I believed it as much as I could at that age. And so that is why there was one day that goes down in my history as a very, very traumatic day in my life. And that was coming home from school one day, getting off of the bus after finishing up a tiring and just a difficult day in elementary school. I mean, you know how it is. It's just tough. Learning all that stuff and coloring and all that stuff you got to do. And so I come out of school that day, get off the smelly bus, and I'm walking home to my house. It's just going to be a normal day. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to hit the health section in my kitchen, which was basically Swiss cake rolls and oatmeal cream pies. And then I'm going to probably watch a little House on the Prairie. And then I'm going to go outside and play some sports with my buddies. And that's pretty much my afternoons after school. Wow, those were great days, now that I think about it. Well, this particular day, I get off the bus, and I start walking home, and it's strange. There's kind of a little curious question mark in my head. It's like, my sisters weren't on the bus. That's really strange. I don't remember them ever getting detention. I was usually the one that got that. And so I'm like, well, it's weird that they weren't on the bus. And I get home, my sisters aren't in the house, and my mom's not in the house, and those were things that usually happen, and I would say almost always happen. Come home, and my mom and my sisters are there. So this is strange. The house is super quiet. And then it hit me. What if Jesus came back? I remember to this day, that thought hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was one of those where my heart just dropped into my stomach, and I'm like, oh, no! And I went into full-out freak-out mode, and I'm trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? How did I mess up? Like, how did I miss this? This is crazy. My mom didn't even leave a note. I mean, come on. If she's going to be raptured up with Jesus, shouldn't she at least leave a note for her kid? I thought she loved me. Like, what's going on here? And nothing. And so I'm looking around the house. Nobody's there. It's eerily quiet. And then I just had this thought, I'm going to call the church. Because I knew that if someone answered the phone at the church, I'm still good. That was just in my elementary mind. And so I pick up the phone, and I dial the number, and I call the church. And I heard the most amazing, sweetest voice. And it was the elderly secretary at our church named Mabel. And Mabel answers the phone, Linton Assembly of God, how may I help you? And I heard that voice, and I was just like, poof, yes! Because I knew if Mabel was still around, I was good. The rapture didn't take place. And I cannot even describe how good that oatmeal cream pie tasted in that moment. As I thought, man, I got another chance. It's going to be good. See, the reality is that we don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come back. Matthew 24, once again, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Many people have tried to predict when the coming of Christ is going to be, but they all got it wrong. Because we don't know when. It could happen now. It could happen 10 years from now. It could happen at any moment. I've read that back in the 1800s, there was a group of people from our country who really thought that they knew when Jesus was going to come back. And so as the record shows, they actually made Ascension clothes, and I don't know what those look like, I have no idea, but they actually made Ascension clothes, and they packed up food for 2 days, and this group left their city, went out into the countryside because they wanted to be away from the crowds in order to see the coming of the Lord. Now, Jesus didn't come back at that moment, obviously, and I don't laugh at that, really, because I really honor their readiness and their expectancy. But the reality is that we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And while we don't know exactly when and what the timing will be, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus actually shares some things that will happen before his coming that give us an idea that we're getting closer to his coming. If you read later in Matthew 24, you're going to see that Jesus said there are going to be some things that happen, like there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. Jesus talked about how people of faith in Jesus, people that were his followers, are going to be persecuted. They're going to be hated by all people. There are going to be people who would betray each other. all because of the name of Jesus, going against the name of Jesus. Jesus talked about how the love of most will grow cold because of the increase of wickedness in those days. And as you think about those descriptors that Jesus gives of things that will happen before his coming, you have to admit that all of these things have happened. He even talked about how false prophets would appear and deceive many people. You have to admit, these things have happened in history, even in recent history. And really, all these things that are mentioned here are happening. They're happening now. And then Jesus gives one more. You find this in verse 14. This one gets me excited about something that's going to happen before Jesus' return. It's this: and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. So all these things, wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, Christians being persecuted, false prophets appearing, people's love growing cold because of the increase of wickedness. And then this: the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus, the hope that's found in Jesus, is going to be preached, it's going to be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations in all the world, and then the end shall come. And I find the time that we're in right now, as much as I want us to be back together again, and I'm looking forward to that day, I believe it's coming soon, and we're going to be able to come back and worship God together and connect together, but even though I want that so bad, I am so excited that we are in this season right now where the gospel of Jesus Christ is being streamed all over the world like never before. I mean, think about 7 days from now on Easter Sunday. I believe this is going to be a historic, unprecedented day for the church, the Big C Church. Because I believe that on that day, there are going to be more people that have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ than has ever been thought of, ever been predicted could even be possible. I mean, think about it. Just a few decades ago, could any of us have envisioned not just believers hearing the gospel, but millions upon millions upon millions of others having access to the hope that's found in Jesus? I mean, I'm talking about people that would never step foot in a church now suddenly, boom, have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see all these things, know that it is near, the coming of Jesus. Know that it's near, right at the door. Is Jesus going to come back 5 years from today? I don't know. But he could. Is Jesus going to come back this week before we ever even get to Easter Sunday? I don't know, but he could. No one knows when, but I believe that we are living in these days when we read through these descriptors that Jesus gave about what's going to happen before his coming again. I'm telling you what, we're in it. We're right in it. We're experiencing these things, and I believe that it's right at the door, which brings us then to the third theme that I want to bring out of Jesus' teaching in those last few days after Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, and it's this: not everyone's going to be ready. Not everyone's going to be ready. This is a clear theme as you dig into the teachings of Jesus, Matthew chapter 21 through 25. It's a sobering theme, but yet it is a true theme. Not everyone will be ready. Jesus said, as he taught the disciples, two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. And what we see in Jesus' teachings is that there are some people that aren't going to be ready because they're busy with other things. They're distracted with other things. They're tied in and attached to other things. They're not willing to surrender their life completely to Jesus. Not everyone will be ready. And if I could take this a step further, as I read through these passages in the Gospel according to Matthew in our New Testament, I find that there are many who think that they'll be ready, but aren't ready. One of Jesus' parables, specifically in Matthew 25, talks about the Lord coming back and then people standing outside the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." And the Lord called from within and said, "Truly I tell you, I don't even know you." What a sobering reality for us as we consider Jesus' words in those last few days before the crucifixion, that he's coming again and there are going to be people that think they're ready. They've been a pretty good person. Maybe you've done some good things, like you go to church from time to time. Maybe you go to church all the time. But yet, you might not be ready. And so as I end this message, I want to just ask two simple, basic questions. The first one is this: are you ready? Are you ready? You know, the early church called this their blessed hope, being ready for the return of Jesus. They looked forward, literally this was their words, to the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was their blessed hope. It's what they banked on, they trusted in, they looked forward to, they anticipated. Are you ready? One of Jesus' disciples was a man by the name of John, who had been with the Lord and been one of the ones that was the closest with Jesus, spent some of the most time with him while he was on this earth preparing for his crucifixion and resurrection. And years later, decades later, John was advanced in age at that point, and he said these words, "And now, little children, abide in him, abide in Jesus, abide in Christ, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming." There are these words that he was speaking to those that he was teaching about Jesus, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we get to hear this as well. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. Are you ready? You know, this word confidence speaks of a boldness, an assurance, like a fearless confidence that you're ready when Jesus returns, and that is possible. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? If he came back today, if he came back tomorrow, are you ready? You see, John shared in this awesome verse about how we can be ready. Abide in him. Abide in him so that when he appears, you may have confidence, and so that you will not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Abiding in him. This speaks of attaching yourself to him. I'm talking about your faith being attached to him. I'm talking about your surrender to him. That Jesus, I want to connect with you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm surrendering to you. I want you to be on the throne of my life, and I want you to stay on the throne of my life. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want to be in you. I want to be covered by your grace and by your forgiveness. I want you to be my number one. I want you to be my main thing. I want you to be my all in all. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher in the 1800s, and he described abiding in Christ with these words: it's being at home in Christ. Talking about being at that place where you're resting, even in tumultuous times, you're resting in him because you know that he is God, that he's on the throne, that he's got it. Your faith is in him. Your confidence is in him. You have received from him the forgiveness of your sins. Are you ready? I'm telling you, you can be ready by placing your trust in him, by surrendering your life to him. And I'm telling you, that's the same way that you stay ready. John was talking to believers, and he said, "Hey, you want to stay ready for his return? Abide in him." And for those that are connecting with this message even right now, wherever you're at, wherever you're leaning into this word, I want you to know that even right now you can surrender your life to Jesus. You might even want to get down on your knees at your couch. You might even want to get others to pray with you, even right now. And just pray and call out to God, because the word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I know that I've wronged you, and I confess that you are God. I confess that you are the one who came, who died on the cross for my sins, paid my price for my mess ups and my failures, my rebellion, and you rose again on the third day. You defeated death. I believe that you are God and that you are on the throne, and I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I'm telling you, it is as simple as that. But it is as complex as that. What I mean is that it is a true surrender of giving everything to Him. Of saying, Lord, this is the biggest decision of my life. I'm giving my life to you. Don't enter into this lightly. Count the cost. But I'm telling you, the reason why you were born is to surrender your life to Jesus and to be under His lordship and to be then ready for His return. Are you ready? The second question, and I want to end with this one, is this. What do you want to be doing when Jesus returns? Believers, what do you want to be doing? What would you love to be doing? Have you ever thought about this? What would you love to be doing when Jesus Christ returns? You might be thinking right now about, well, maybe I'd like to be in church service. Or I'd like to be reading my Bible. I'd like to be singing a praise song. That would be awesome. And I think all those things would be great. But I think for me, one of the best things, one of the things that I would love to be doing, and I bet you will really connect with this, is I would love to have my sleeves rolled up and being all about God's mission. That in the moment when Jesus Christ came, I would be ready and I would be leaning into whatever He's doing. I mean, we know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came for the hurting. He came for the broken. He came to deliver the oppressed. Wouldn't you love when Jesus Christ comes back to be right there engaged with His mission, showing the love of Jesus, sharing the love of Jesus with those that are around you? I'm inspired by a historical account of something that took place way back in the 4th century. And we have this information because of a historian at that time by the name of Eusebius. And what took place was a very terrible epidemic swept through the Roman Empire. And as recorded by the historian Eusebius, the Christians could have fled. There were the groups of them that could have just like, we're getting out of here. But instead of fleeing, they actually went to the people who were sick. They actually went to those who were hurting, and they distributed bread to them, and they cared for them. And Eusebius, the historian, way back in the 4th century, wrote this about what happened whenever the epidemic finally faded away. He said this, "The Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians." Wouldn't it be amazing when Jesus came back, He found us with our sleeves rolled up, and we are all about the mission of God. We're all about caring for people and loving people and encouraging people and providing for people. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And I encourage you, church, let's be the church. Let's be the church during these times that seem so uncertain. Let's walk with faith certain of Christ's coming, and let us be at a place where we are having our sleeves rolled up, and it looks a little different right now, but we're being the church. We're sharing the love of Jesus. We're showing the love of Jesus to those who are around us. And even as you go through this day, consider that question. What would you like to be doing when Jesus returns? I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for your power and your might. I thank you for the love that you have lavished on us, that we could have the opportunity to be called children of God by placing our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have provided all things. And now, Lord, as we go into this week, which might feel like it is an uncertain time, may we know what is certain, and that is your promises. One of those being that you have promised to come again. Lord, we look forward to your return. And I pray now for this church, Lord, that as they go through this week, that your hand will be on them, that your favor will be on them, that your blessing will be on them, and that they will have an anticipation, expectancy for your return. Help this church, Lord, to be the church during this time. Give us your ways. Give us your ideas. Give us your strength, Lord, that we might step up and step out during this week in order to make a difference for you. May your name be glorified. And I pray that your name will be on the lips of everyone in our community and in our society as we walk through this time, because they see your deliverance, your provision, your healing, and your empowerment. We praise you, God, for your presence and that we've been able to experience this today. May your presence now continue to be in the homes of everyone that's watching this message right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.